Hi, I'm very happy so many came, although it's a nice afternoon. I would be happy if after this conversation, like after this talk, we could have a conversation about the things that I brought up, because mostly if I give these lectures, I learn so much from people who answer or ask questions. So yes, please interrupt me and ask questions if you have any. Yes, so my name is Stephanie, and I want to talk about Ms. Baltus's laboratory. It's about interactive technology. It's kind of information coming into a computer in the form of sensors sensing the environment, and information getting out of a computer in the form of sound, visuals, movement. And this kind of interactive technology is something that is usually very mysterious to the normal user and the normal consumer. And that's why I try to demystify it in workshops with other people, where we share our knowledge on technology. Specifically, we want to take apart things and dissect them and find out more about how they work and how we can make them our own. And I'm focusing, for several reasons that I want to point out during this lecture, on women and trans people and people who feel as women. So all the workshops I give are usually separatist, which means that they are open only for a certain group in the population. And I'm doing this with two girls, friends of mine, and in the future with the girl sitting there, Christine Schalkhuber and Lale. And the three of us organized a Verein, which is like a NGO kind of structure. And this structure tries to use open source technology, which is technology that's open to download, free to download, and also open to people to change and readjust and reuse. So we try to use this technology in an abstract and obscure and strange way, the way it's not supposed to be used, and kind of articulate ourselves through it. I came to all this because I was really not knowledgeable about technology. When I finished university at the Applied Arts University, I could only do video editing, and I found that it's very expensive to ask people to build things for me. And I realized that the people who really know coding were mostly male friends. So I started to try to find out who develops the tools, these technology, who is the capital and the resources to learn about these things, to own these things, and to also access these technologies. So I want to talk a little bit about how it came all about, these workshops. We started in 2009 with the Eclectic Tech Carnival, which is a concept from Amsterdam. It's a group of women who are all IT people, who are actually in the business of IT and programmers, and they have developed a format, a concept where people from all over the world come together once a year, and they share all their skills on technology. So they teach each other how to program and how to do Linux and how to install stuff. And it was the first time that I saw women who do this kind of things and who were very happy doing it. So it was not like this very sad people creatures in the end of the row who are kind of nerdy, but it was really cool women doing this. So I wanted to do the same format, take the same format of a festival of women meeting and sharing in workshops and having fun and sharing all those experiences. And applied in Sweden, where I was based for 1 year. And in Sweden, we made this Eclectic Tech Carnival that was focused more on really basic introductory classes. So we really wanted people to think, hey, this is like kindergarten level. You can do it. Everyone can do it. You don't have to be afraid. So we invited many. It was very difficult to find lecturers, in fact, because most of the people I asked to give workshops said they can't do it and they don't know how to do it, although I knew them for a long time. And I was aware that they were working with this kind of technology for many years. They still, many of them said, oh, no, no, and I had to come back several times and say, please, I know you can do it, please come, it's going to be fun. And that way, in the end, we were like a big group, and we had an exhibition in the end. I don't have so many photos of this, but it was around 50 people from around the world, and there were concerts in the evenings, and there was this exhibition, and it was kind of a meeting. And In this meeting, I had conversations with women who are older than me and who had gone through similar experiences. And it was the first time I met women who are older than me who also do media art or try to use technology. So it was very impressive for me. And when I got homesick for Austria, I went home to Austria and I found a new home in this very strange place called MetaLab. I don't know if any of you has been there, but it's a it's a very weird place underground. It's a basement. It's kind of a bar, but it's actually a platform for people who are into hacking and open source software to develop things together. It's a place where they sit together, drink together, smoke together, and most of the time collaborate on interdisciplinary tech-focused projects. So I was very impressed by this because before everything that I have encountered with technology was either crazy people working on their own or people working in very expensive corporate labs or university labs that are super, super exclusive. But MetaLab really tries to get in people from everywhere and make them use technology in a different way. But the problem with MetaLab is that there's like 98% male users there, male participants and members. So I came about, maybe some of you have heard this already, this part, because I started to kind of think about why is it that there are no female people or queer people in these hacker spaces, although they try so hard to be open, they try so hard to go through these limitations and censorships. So that's how I thought more about hacker culture, because hacker culture is a culture that tries to really take something into a close focus and change it in a contributive and participatory way so that you have a closer relation to it. So I think that people who hack things, they actually show kind of love towards hardware or software or an issue because they really try to... They don't just observe it, but they really contributed with their own creativity and innovation into an issue or object or software. So the hacker culture was very impressive for me because it's an approach that's very humane and fun and honest in a way, I think, and very engaging and innovative and creative. But 2009, I had this lecture where I criticized harshly, maybe some of you know that, the hacker culture for being very male dominated and male focused. And I tried to find out why they're not, why people like me don't feel cozy and comfortable. Because at the beginning I thought it's just me who doesn't feel comfortable, but then I found out that it's actually a structural violence that makes you feel uncomfortable. And I tried to work with people in there to talk to them about why do I feel so uncomfortable. And some of them said, oh, it's your own problem. Why are you so strange? Why are you not like us? And then others said, after some conversations, there is maybe harassment and there is maybe some kind of breach justices towards people who are not this kind of tech nerds. Specifically, we had some case of sexual harassment where a friend of mine just left MetaLab for good, although she was one of the founding members. And we had a conversation with all the people in MetaLab, and there were some people who just said, oh, why don't you feel honored to be harassed? Kind of, yeah. Why don't you feel happy if people are hitting on you? So, after some conversations, we found out that especially these people had themselves experiences of discrimination. This particular guy was very fat when he was a child, and he said, yes, I remember when I was a child, they also thought of me, I was something else than I actually thought I was, because I was very fat, people believed I was stupid or whatever. So from this experience that he had made himself, he could kind of translate it into our experience of being there and people thinking of us to be something that we're not. So I really tried hard to have conversations with people in this tech scene, but after a while I got just tired, and I wanted to kind of make workshops only for women and trans. And at the beginning we did that at MetaLab, but since there were always a lot of ears around, I did workshops in different places, different cities, in Denmark, in the US, and this was in Syria, a particular workshop where we worked with IT women and artists, sculptors, media artists in one team, and they developed projects within a week with Arduino, which was difficult because in Syria it's not really easy to download things, even open source. So after doing these workshops in different places and not in MetaLab, we decided to move out because we really enjoyed this experience we had in the workshops around the world, that we had our own space and like a quiet atmosphere for around a week or 3 days. So we started, so in 2011, we started a space actually just around the corner. It's up there in Museum Scotia. And I hope that from using the structure here, we would kind of approve. But I found out that you always have to make your own structures, new structures, because Museum Scotia, of course, also uses artists who are here for their own promotion. So in any way, we were here for a year and organized festivals and organized workshops. But then since July, we have our own, really own space, which is also in a more precarious area of Vienna, because after trying so hard to get people into this attitude of, hey, this is fun to ruin things and make new things from it, it's fun. But there still were mostly academics, women without children, women who had already 2 degrees, some of them PhDs, and it was really hard to get people from different backgrounds. And so we now have this place in Sechshausestraße, which is an area which is unfortunately gentrified very quickly, but still there are lots of people from different backgrounds. And there I want to do it like a mixture of studio and hackerspace that allows people to come in, access tools, access technology, learn how to use it, and also build their own projects. We have 5 office chairs and tables there, so people can rent some kind of office place to develop their own projects there and have a network of women around and trans people who can give advice and support. So since I didn't really feel comfortable in MetaLab, I tried to pin it down on certain things that made me uncomfortable. And some of it was that it was all very crowded and sticky and blue and black. It was just a very kind of things that cry out masculinity in a way. It's not that I believe that there is masculinity or femininity at all. I think it's all socialized and all we are all raised to be in a certain way. I don't think in biological big differences, but still I don't identify with things that are masculine. So in this new hackerspace that we tried to build, I wanted to have like materials that I want to touch and I want to be close to hours and hours when I work with technology. So it's a lot of wood, and we put the electronics into glass, and we have like a lot of structures that try to make it look like a format that we feel comfortable in, like an apartment or a kitchen. Or I don't want to replicate stereotypes, but still you feel more comfortable if you think of something as a living space, as like a workshop underneath the ground. It's just a different feeling you get if you work for hours in there. So unfortunately, this is a little bit out of focus. But yeah, we have like 100 square meters, and there are different agents that I know already from Vienna who come and contribute to the structure by building like a second floor or building like another wall to record sound in a audio chamber. For myself, I would like to have the focus of this hackerspace on electronics and microcontrollers, because there is this whole new movement of free hardware and instructables online, where people can really learn how to build electronic parts and hardware and tools themselves from scratch, but of course also reverse engineering to take apart things and repair them or change them. So most of the workshops I go for this really cool microcontroller called Arduino, but we call it Arduina because most electronic parts in Austrian are male, like der Kondensator, der Widerstand, and we say die Kondensatorin. Arduina is also female form of this microcontroller, because although it's very stupid, our identity is based on these very simple things that we absorb as part of our identity or don't absorb as part of our identity. I think it starts already with toys we get as children. So yeah, I continue to do these workshops around the world because there are many people who are very lonely out there doing these things, and they're extremely happy if someone comes and collects everyone around and says, yeah, let's have a workshop. And I'm in touch with many who are, I don't know, somewhere out there working with the Arduino in Taiwan or in Denmark or in North Sweden or in Syria. And we try to have them in touch and feel encouraged to be who they want to be and do what they want to do and have the courage to just realize their projects without anyone's help and without a lot of capital. So this was recently. This round thing is also a microcontroller. It's called LilyPad, and it's the same microcontroller like the Arduino that I was talking about before. So we also try to use materials that are very sensitive and poetic more than the usual technology-related material. For example, this is conductive ink and paper. And then there are also materials like there are just a lot of materials like skin that's also conductive, or you can use all kinds of things that don't come into your mind as part of a machine but could become part of some interactive art piece because they are conductive or they are resistive. So also, of course, soldering is a very important skill to learn in these workshops. And then we do also workshops that are maybe focused to smaller kids that are just playing with this ideology of toys and just take them apart and make them to monsters. This is the LilyPad, which is actually developed for doing wearable technology, to have circuits that are inside your clothing. We do regular festivals. We had one in Belgrade where we collaborated with a Belgrade feminist tech organization and one from Amsterdam. And we had one here in this room, Raum D, in January. And we have a very big, that was the one in Belgrade, we have a very big mailing list now of 200 people. Where you can just say, okay, I would like to learn this or that. Can someone teach it? Or can we have that workshop? Or I would like to give this workshop. Okay, this is rare that someone says, I would like to give a workshop. Mostly you have to ask 3 times because people are so shy. But there was an interesting conversation. I don't know how much time I have left. But one of the people in our group who organized it said that there is kind of a gap between knowledge of men and knowledge of women, and that we would have to do a transfer of the knowledge of men to the knowledge of women, and that we would have to have one man teaching us, what was it, Python for 1 semester? Perl? Yeah. And I was getting really angry because it sounds like there's knowledge here and there's a vacuum here and you have to drip it all down there. And it's so different because if you really talk to the women doing technology, they are so knowledgeable, you know. I mean, it just sometimes they don't even know how much they already learned by doing these things for years. And if you try to say, okay, please, could you prepare instructions or could you prepare a workshop? They learn also about their own lifestyle, maybe more because they try to transform it into something that they can communicate to others. So I think one of the principles that we teach each other is not only to exclude other people or whatever, but it's also that we become more aware of what we already learned. And also people that just are beginners, they have better understanding how others feel who are beginners. So I think it's very important that there are no hierarchies in the workshops so much, but people, female, people who are raised as females or call themselves females are teaching each other. So yeah, that's also like, this is how usually workshops start. There are all kinds of weird materials and people can come up with an idea what they want to do. And then if you have 2 or 3 days, they can develop it with the help of the others. This was a workshop in New York where very old women came who did interactive technology in the 70s and 60s. And they were very much touched because they said it's such a backlash when they were really radical in the 60s and 70s. It was a cool thing to break all these limitations. And for us, it's kind of like, oh, we are very cautious and very fearful. So they were trying to kind of communicate their spirit from the 70s to us. They still do interactive art. what I think is a big reason why women are not more into this field is because once women get out of university or out of the education sector, sometimes they just become transparent. They disappear for several reasons, sometimes because of children or sometimes because of lack of money, that they just work all the time. Or sometimes just because they are in very stable, very close relationships and used all the time for relationship work. I don't know exactly, but I try to do really in this feminist hacker space, I would like to provide some security and safety and extra space for children, maybe so people with different needs can also join and don't have to disappear. Yeah, so let's dissect things. And give them new names and use them in new ways and not feel totally overwhelmed by all this tech that's transforming our lives all the time. Yeah. So my goals now is, yeah, people still continue to see technology as not something sacred and above everything and powerful, but they try to, subvert it and demythify it and build networks and build structures of collaboration and trust. And then in this kind of environments, I hope that people will act in different ways and not be so careful anymore. Yeah, that's what I try to do. That's it for today.